You're listening to the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. If you're a working mother or you've had a career break and would like to find a way back to work, or if just being under lockdown has made you think about a career change, why not join the Careering into Motherhood Facebook group? It's a supportive community of 6,500 women who help make life that little bit easier for working parents and working mothers in particular. Twice a year, we run free mentoring programs, and we've just launched our first program of career coaching and masterclass sessions. Our next online coaching program starts on the 10th of June. For more information, just search for the Careering into Motherhood Facebook group or drop me an email, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. My guest today knows all about making a career change. Tracy Blake is a former journalist turned tech entrepreneur. And 4 years ago, she founded studentnannies.com when the stress of working full-time and trying to patch together after-school care just got too much. As they say, necessity is the mother of invention. And 4 years on, she has a highly successful tech platform that connects parents with UK students who've got time in their weekly schedule to provide after-school nannying and babysitting services. But that was all before COVID-19. Another quick pivot for Tracy, and she's now shifted her business so that students are providing online tutoring for children all the way from year one to A-levels. When my own son, aged 6, refused point blank to do any homeschooling if we were teaching, we drafted in the lovely Charlotte. She's a teaching assistant in normal times, but looking for some extra hours work. It's restored peace in our house for just a couple of hours a week and has genuinely given my son back his love of learning. So I got in touch with Tracy to find out more and asked her along to the podcast. I was interested, first of all, so I think I'm right in saying that you are a former journalist, is that right?
Yes,
you set up student.
That's right, yeah.
So how on earth does someone go from being a journalist to being a tech entrepreneur?
Haha. Well, it all happened completely by accident, if I'm honest. So I was a working mum, quite a big job at a newspaper. I think I was at the Daily Mail at the time, the Daily Mail. And essentially I was getting home at like 8 o'clock at night, but I had two children then. It was just when my little boy started school. And that's when I realised that whereas my mum had been helping me like two or three afternoons a week, she just couldn't cope with two of them together, because the minute there's two, it's double trouble. And so I wanted to find just some after-school childcare, two afternoons a week, where I didn't want them going to a childminder, because I didn't actually really want them having to go to someone else's house for quite a few hours. It turned out childminders only wanted to work till 6 o'clock anyway, so that wasn't an option. Professional sort of nannies wanted a full day. They didn't just want 3 hours or 4 hours at the end of the day. And so I was just completely stuck. I mean, I was honestly desperate, because I just thought, what on earth am I going to do? And then I was standing waiting for a train in my train station waiting room, and I overheard two students talking, and I literally just thought, oh, can I say anything? Oh, I don't know. And then I thought, stuff it, I'm going to say something. So I just said, oh, hello, sorry to eavesdrop, but it sounds like your students do live locally, and might you be interested in any babysitting work? And one of them, Louise, she was like, yes, actually, I just live down the road, and yes, I would be interested. So we swapped numbers, and she came over, and we had a proper chat. She met the kids, and we ended up hiring her. And she was just so brilliant. She is was an Art Foundation student then. So every week she'd have a plan of what she'd found, something great, a great little project on Pinterest that she wanted to do with them. She'd buy the stuff. So she just came with everything, all prepared, and then we'd get home from work and they'd have been really proud of themselves that they've made and decorated a clock or done all these different things. And it was just really, it just worked out so well for both of us.
Yes, because I guess she gets skills as well that she can put on a CV, yeah, rather than coming out of university with no work experience.
Exactly. And so she ended up staying with us for about a year. Then she actually went off to do Camp America, which again, her experience with us helped her get that job at Camp America. And so then I thought, right, well, I want to find another student because it was such a good fit. But there was no way for me as a 40-year-old woman to reach out to a network of students. So I, in full naivety, I just thought, oh, well, I'll just set up a little website. It'll be a bit like Borrow My Doggy, because that was kind of my framework of experience. I thought, well, it's a bit like that, but we're introducing parents and students. That's how it started. And I literally thought, I'll just keep on with my newspaper job because it'll all be automated, so I won't have to do anything.
Right. How wrong.
Yes, how wrong. I think if you knew the reality, you would just never do it.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true as a female founder or founder in general. Yeah. So you left journalism.
Well, no, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, it took quite a while for me to make that leap. I did it as a side hustle for really quite a long time. And then it was starting to get bigger and bigger. And then I had a chance to join an accelerator program, but they would only let me join if I was full time on the business. So I was having this dilemma. And then I got the opportunity to take voluntary redundancy. So that's what I did. It all just seemed like the stars were aligning, basically. It was like that little push that I needed.
And when was that?
October 2018.
Okay. Right. So not even 2 years yet. And am I right? You've gone for funding and investment?
Yes, we've had two rounds of funding, and slightly worryingly, we were about to start another one literally in February, March, when all the corona kicked off. So that's quite tricky at the moment. But yes, we've already done two rounds. I'd say that has probably been the biggest challenge of the business, to be honest.
Yes, I'm sure. So you are a female tech entrepreneur going in front of investors, which from everything I read and know about is... nigh on impossible, but yeah. You've obviously succeeded. What do you think it is in your character, or what have you learned about yourself in doing that?
I don't know. It has been really tough and challenging. I think the fact that I was a journalist for 20 years, I am pretty resilient, and you need a lot of resilience because you do get an awful lot of no's. And everyone you meet has got an opinion about your business, and they're very happy to tell you whether it's good or bad. And so it can be quite soul destroying just to go to meetings after meetings and just get told no, because you get so excited if you get a face to face meeting. And then if it doesn't pan out how you had hoped, it can be very demoralizing. But I think it's persistence, it's resilience, it's listening. So you have to take each meeting really as a learning opportunity. And, you know, the more questions you get asked, the better you get at answering them, I think. As I said, everyone has an opinion. So it's a case of not being too knee jerk and thinking, oh, now we need to do this. But it's a case of anything that rings true to you, then, OK, you stop, pull yourself up and have a think about that and whether you do need to make any changes or what you can do to be in a better position to answer that question the next time you have it. So, yeah, it has been really tough. And I think how I've done it, the answer is I'm not really sure. I'm quite passionate about my business because I know it works and I know we're helping both parents and students. So I think I go in there, I don't do the hard sell because that's not really me. I just try and go in and I guess tell them my story of how I've ended up doing this. And, you know, for some people who go in with more of a dry pitch, maybe it's a bit different. I don't really know. As long as I've got some parents in the room, then I'm happy.
And so obviously your business has been, well, the original business model has been hugely hit by coronavirus in that, you know, we can't have student nannies coming to our houses. There's not even after school because there is no school.
Exactly.
But you very quickly pivoted, didn't you? Very quickly.
I mean, I literally saw, I mean, it was the speed at which it was unfolding was just incredible. It seemed like every day or every week we were having worse and worse news about the dreadful impact it was having on everyone and lives lost and awful. So I thought it was inevitable that schools would close. So yeah, the week that they did close on the Friday, we were getting this already. So we realised we have all these brilliant students, super bright from top universities all over the country. Universities have closed also. And then you've got all these parents who are being told they need to work from home, but they're also being told they need to homeschool their children. And trying to do both together is obviously very challenging. So we realised, we actually tried out ourselves a couple of calls with sort of student nannies that we knew to see if a remote session with learning stuff would work. And actually, we were slightly amazed that we tried it initially with a five-year-old boy doing maths because we thought, go try to do something hard, you know, and it worked so well. And then I did one, my daughter did one with English, and we just realized this could really work and help people again, help make lives easier. So it was quick and we did it a bit. What's the word in startup world? I think it's called fast and dirty. You know, we didn't worry too much about it all being perfect because it wasn't going to be perfect, but we just had to get something out there that was workable and usable, and then to see how it went. So yeah, we're now offering online study buddy sessions with these brilliant university students who can help, really, it's any age, but we're finding that, you know, we're getting bookings from probably 5 or 6 up to 13 or 14. And then we've got some A-level and GCSE helpers too. But it's mainly a lot of parents just want some help boosting their child's confidence in sub, you know, core subjects like maths and English. And I think particularly as a parent, we're not great teachers. We're not meant to be teachers. So often, I mean, I've found parents have written in saying that they're a bit worried that they're knocking their child's confidence because they're so impatient. And they're like, come on, we did this yesterday. Come on, you know. And that it's just that thing of if you can have someone that's not in your family, so it's a different person, and immediately they're more engaging because they're young and they're cool, and they're not your mum and dad. So for children, they just seem to connect with them well and sort of be more enthusiastic about learning with them than they would be with a parent. So yeah, we're covering all subjects. We've got bonkers, kind of the talent on the platform's incredible, like zoologists and people doing Mandarin, coding, but it's the core subjects of maths, English and science that seem to be the ones that most people are taking bookings for. Although we have had a few singing lessons as well.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram thing, some singing lessons, which looked fun. I was tempted myself.
I did have one parent write in, actually, wanting to connect to that singing teacher. So, yeah.
I've told you, but we reached the point where we were tearing our hair out because I felt we were falling so far behind. And my son is only 5, so, you know, get a grip. He's 5, he's in year 1. But it's just the love of learning, which he had, seemed to be waning because he does not want to learn from us. And we're sitting over him going, come on, you must do this exactly as you said. It's like, you know, it's so simple for us. And we did it yesterday. And he was just, I could see he's just switching off and shutting down. And we've been so fortunate to have found this amazing woman who's actually a teaching assistant. So I'm guessing she wouldn't have ordinarily been on your site, but now you're opening up to, you know, even more people. And my goodness, I think my son is just in love with her.
Oh, I'm so pleased to hear that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's a great thing. So I'm hugely supportive, and we're talking about whether later down the line at school holidays and things, whether she'd be interested in working with us. So if you're sitting there struggling with home teaching, give this a try. I'm such a huge advocate. So what next, Tracy? And also, I suppose, how you've obviously got investors breathing down your neck. How is it from a business perspective?
I mean, our investors are lovely. I've still only got to angel investors. We haven't got scary VCs breathing down our necks, so that's quite nice. And we're very lucky because we're an incredibly small team. We don't have an office premises, so our outgoings, you know, we're very lean and agile, basically, and that's what's enabled us to do this quick pivot and to keep on going. So, you know, it's a case of we do need to find some investment pretty soon. Nervous laughter. but, you know, I feel like we have got a great narrative, really, because, I mean, the bookings for the online service are going really, really strongly. And, I mean, it's not looking like children will be back to school potentially till September. Or your little boy will be, by the sound of it, if he's year one. Yeah, but, you know, for the majority, I think school won't be back to normal till September time. So, yeah, we're hoping that this is a whole new sort of vertical for the business that, I mean, we did have it on our roadmap, but for, you know, 2 or 3 years' time. So the fact that we've fast forwarded it is pretty cool, actually. You know, it's a positive to come out of something so awful. So, you know, we're just trying to think, let's keep it going. So we see ourselves doing both in the future. So we'll do, once obviously lockdown is lifted, we'll be able to go back to doing the childcare that we were doing before, after school childcare with clever university students. And then, you know, also the tutoring. I think probably it's going to be a massive societal shift because everyone's realised how much they can do with an online call. And, you know, work patterns are potentially going to change. And so, I mean, I don't think any of us really know what the impact is going to be at this stage. But I feel like we've done all we can to sort of be prepared for it and hopefully ride it out. But, you know, getting our next wave of investment will be critical because otherwise we'll run out of money. So, you know, it's as ever a new challenge.
Yes. And is that side of things, so if we sort of flip to talking about, you know, setting up a business and all of that sort of things. If you're going for investment, is your business, the operations of your business, is it's proceeding as normal? You said you didn't have office space and that kind of thing. So it's not, you know, they're not big changes for you there. But are investors doing investment pitches by Zoom and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, we're having conversations and yes, no face-to-face meetings. And it's all, you know, very metrics driven. So right now we're focusing on our bookings and just having, you know, because really also it's the data is also new. This only happened at the end of March. So it's only been running for 6 weeks. So it is quite bonkers to be then pitching for investment on the back of data that's that new. But that's the story we've got. And that's the story that I think shows us to our best advantage, really, that we are agile and we've found this new avenue very quickly. And, you know, it's testament to the talent of our students, really, that was an opportunity for us. So, you know, it is very stressful, not quite knowing whether we'll manage to get this investment or not. But I've been through this twice now, and it always seems that, touch wood, you know, just when you're really down to your last pounds in the bank, hopefully something happens. So I did think, having worked in newspapers for a long time, I thought that was quite stressful. But this is a whole different kind of stress, I have to say.
How are you personally? What do you personally do to cope with stress, or do you just thrive on it?
Well, no, I think I must slightly enjoy it a little bit to have done, you know, had the career that I've had before. But I don't like the sustained level of stress. I prefer, like, I guess when you're a journalist, you have a deadline for that evening and then you hit. That's very stressful. But once the paper's gone, that's it until the next day. Whereas I think when you run a business, and particularly now in sort of crisis mode, the stress level is just always there. It doesn't really dip, it just raises and then goes back to like low level, you know, mid-level stress, resting points. But astonishingly, I have begun running, which I never thought.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, I've before have only ever done a little bit of running on a running machine in the gym. And I feel like psychologically that used to help speed me along a bit. But obviously that's not possible anymore. And so I just thought to myself, I'll give it a try. So I just go round the block, not far from my house, obviously, and it was taking me 12 and a half minutes. And the other day I did it in 11 and a half minutes. So I thought, okay, something's
wow, that's
really good. Yeah. So that's, I mean, I've mainly been trying to do that. So I just try and get up and do that. And that's my sort of exercise mainly done for the day. But then with the children, we're very lucky we're in Buckinghamshire. And so we've actually been going to lots of different woods, mostly that we can walk to, but now actually you're allowed to drive somewhere as long as the walk is longer than the drive there. And so it's been lovely. We've been doing a bit of forest bathing, we've been calling it.
I've heard about this.
just going in and all the lovely trees, and when the sunlight's coming through the trees, and we've seen deer, trying to get the children to, you know, be really quiet, because if we're quiet we'll see more animals. And that's just been a lovely experience, actually, because, you know, we would never normally, we'd maybe do that once on a weekend, but to be able to do it a couple of times a week and explore different places has been a real treat. So I'm trying to focus on good memories like that we're making, and things exactly like I said, you know, you just wouldn't be doing that on a, what day is it today? Thursday, or Thursday morning or whatever, you know, at 11 o'clock on a school week. So just got to embrace these weird times, I think, sometimes, and realise it's precious family time that, you know, we would never have had otherwise.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's exactly that sort of flexible attitude and approach, which is why you're so successful at what you do. I think that's one of the key things for entrepreneurs, to be able to adapt and not just pivot. Pivot's such an overused word at the moment, I think, but to just be flexible and pragmatic about what's going on around you, and then change your approach and direction. Well, I really wish you all the success. As I say, I'm a huge advocate, and you've got so much enthusiasm and energy, and you are really fixing a problem that needs fixing if women are going to stay in the workforce, or parents in general.
Thank you, Jane. I really do appreciate that. It's lovely to hear a great customer review.
I know it sounds like one big advert, but I'm such a supporter.
No, it's amazing. It's just so encouraging to hear things like that as well. It just makes you realise why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for making the time right now as well.
Pleasure. Great to chat to you.
What a fantastic story. I love these female-led businesses that come out of necessity, Tracy was experiencing a pain point in her own life and went out to solve it. And as she says, pitching to investors isn't as daunting for her as you might expect now in the very male-dominated world of funding and investment, because she's so passionate about what she does and she knows she's solving a very real problem for working parents everywhere. So please do send your feedback and any stories of your own career pivots or just thoughts on the podcast, and I'll read them out next time. If you'd like more information about the coaching programme I mentioned at the start of the episode, don't forget, drop me a line at jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. We'd love to have you on board. We'll be moving to fortnightly episodes from here on, so I hope you'll join me and my guests again in a couple of weeks. Until then, take care.